Hi, I'm Jason Alexander. Or as you probably know me, Royal Flusher 25 from WSOP free-to-play app.
Poker tips with Jason.
Avoid making ego-based decisions. Like, you know you should fold, but you just can't let someone like Ian win. Oh, he's bragging about his precious infinity pool. You just can't help but going all in. Full house.
I peed in your pool!
If you love poker, play poker on the WSOP free-to-play app. Download now.
I am a busy boy right now thanks to the Summer Olympics. I wake up, and I'm immediately watching rugby sevens action. Then I'm watching some archery. Wait, is that water polo? Oh my god, have you seen the beach volleyball setup? Before I know it, I'm 8 hours in watching some dude in glasses kick butt on the pommel horse. I don't leave the couch, guys. There's barely time to eat, let alone make my own meals. Thank goodness for Factor's no prep, no mess meals. They are saving me. I am only alive right now because of Factor. And I'm eating good, good. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, hey, handball's on, okay, I'm coming. You'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Keep kitchen time to a minimum. Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. No shopping, no prepping, no cooking, no cleaning up. Head to factormeals.com/nodunks50 and use the code NODUNKS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code NODUNKS50 at factormeals.com/NODUNKS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Saturday, July 13th, 2024. We're coming to you from the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. All the boys are here on the concourse for a little summer league fun. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Bellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. And making the magic happen way in the back there. We got super producer J.D. Before we get into the Summer League action, we also have some NBA news. We wanted to thank everybody who came out to our live show last night at Level Up in the MGM Grand. We had Matty O joining us on stage. This guy had bits for days. He turned into Carrot Top with all the props. But we had a lot of fun, everybody coming out and watching the show for an hour. Here they are. Here's some photos.
He had so many bits, we couldn't even do some of them legally. but, man, one long-lasting bit was those green visors he brought, which mostly got given away, except for the one that Matt had on his head for the entirety of the rest of the night that we spent out last night.
Yeah, he walked around multiple casino floors wearing the poker visor. And I think when you wear that, people are like, they respect you more.
This guy knows what's going on.
This guy's wearing
a
poker visor. He must know what's going on. I'm not sure
he
played.
Couldn't throw them really well. He was trying to pass them to everybody. They just fell down on the ground. But he had a bag full of gifts and bits.
Stanzas.
Yeah,
it really is Carrot Top. Apparently, Carrot Top's performing out here in Vegas. He got me excited to go see one.
Oh, wow.
I didn't
go see Carrot Top?
You love prop humor, do you?
Yeah, I love prop humor.
Okay. Well, thank you to everybody that joined us last night. We did have a blast. Let's talk a little bit about Summer League here. Obviously, just day two in Vegas at the Thomas & Mack Center. Last night, on Friday night, we had a pair of exciting rookies making their NBA Summer League debut. Number one pick, Zakaria Richache. I can't not sing it in the Destiny's Child song now. And number two pick, Alex Sarr. They battled it out in a game where the Wizards, Sarr's Wizards, beat the Hawks 94-88. No one cares about
straight
the
up score.
Who cares, you loser? But both guys put up solid stats. Richache, 18 points, 5 boards, 2 assists. Sarr, 12 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, and 4 blocks. Tass, were you impressed by both these top two picks?
Yeah, quite often with number one picks especially, there are nerves. There may not be a good game. We saw Wemby last year. It was a 9-point game. Didn't look good in game one. They changed it in game two. Got way better. In Reese Hachet's first game, he looked good. He could handle. Mm-hmm. He could dribble from wherever he was and score. Or in a situation where he made a catch in the corner, a low catch. The ball was extremely low pass to him. Hit a three on that. He had 3 threes. Again, the driving was impressive. The spins. That was a very, very well played first game for Reese Hachet. He looked like he's extremely skilled. He went coast to coast at times. So, yes, Hawks fans got to be impressed on why they took this guy number one.
And what do you think about Sarr, who sort of like flourished more on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because you basically got what you wanted to see from Reese Hachet, running in transition, hitting threes, looking good on offense. And then Alex Sarr, what you're expecting from him is maybe the offense will come along. We saw some good offensive moments, I thought, in this one. But the defense was right away awesome. He had a possession where he blocked 3 shots on one possession. That was sick. There was that alley-oop block he had where it looked like he got beat, somehow got back, turned around, blocked it at the rim. Impressive stuff. And then he's able to shoot with confidence 3-pointers, drive to the hoop. You can see why both of these guys were at the top of their draft. And I think for kind of being mystery men coming in, you know, obviously not playing domestically, hard to find their highlights and see what they're looking for. You heard what kind of players they were coming into the draft. Now you see them here in Summer League, and they look like great versions of those players that they were pitched as. That's got to be encouraging for the Hawks and for the Wizards.
Yeah, it was a good debut when you have both fan bases, Hawks fans and Wizards fans, going, we got our guy. This guy's the real deal. He looks like he's legit. So that is obviously a good start for both of those guys.
I mean, Sarr dove to the floor at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know what the Wizards are going to be. They're going to be bad this year. But at least they're picking a direction. And they've got Jonas Valanciunas starting over Sarr to sort of get him through slowly. But, yeah, to be in game one and to be able to get after it and block shots. And, yeah, the offense is going to take a little bit longer. But, yeah, 12-7 and 4 assists plus those blocks. Like, that guy can obviously play. And he could be your defensive anchor to go along with Bub Carrington in this game.
Yeah.
Bub for the Wizards.
Big Bub.
Who could be their starting point guard one day. He looked like he was going a little too fast at the beginning of the game, but then he started running an offense. This guy's 18. He'll be 19 this year, a one-year player out of Pittsburgh. Like, he was running the show out there. So good signs for the Wizards and Hawks.
Yeah, let's talk about some other Summer League standouts that you've seen either yesterday or even today. I know you popped your head in to see your guy Bouzelis there for the Bulls. You saw a nice jumper, but has anyone else sort of impressed you here early?
Yeah, I saw 1 minute of second quarter action from Matas Bouzelis, and I got to say, rookie of the year lock. Pull up midi jumper, looks smooth. The handle was there. I saw some of his highlights as well. At halftime, he had 10 points, 2 blocks. The guy can block shots. He's got size and a lot of confidence. He's calling for the ball on, like, every single play. That's his very first NBA experience. I thought that was cool. But we talked about the top two picks. The number three pick, Reed Sheppard, looked incredible on night one of Summer League. 23 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, a steal, and 3 blocks. You can dominate in Summer League if you're a guard who knows how to play.
Yeah. Yep.
He's a guard who knows how to play, but also has a lot of upside. I think the handle looked nice. He was getting it to his spots wherever he wanted. He could play catch and shoot. He could shoot off the dribble. He knew how to run things as a point guard. It's not unusual to see a second year player that's too good for Summer League, but this is a rookie and you're like, oh, you could already be shut down so that you're still healthy to get ready for next season. They got to be thrilled that coming into the draft, who knows what was going to happen with the Rockets, right? That third pick was somebody that they could have easily moved. They ended up going with Reed Sheppard. And if he ends up being the guy, once Fred VanVleet leaves, like, he looks like he would fit in perfectly with what they've built there so far.
I know it's easy to get overly excited after one game, but I started evaluating the Rockets and the salary cap and how long Fred VanVleet has signed for after seeing Reed Sheppard. He's only got one more year guaranteed on contract for Fred VanVleet, and then the next one is a team option, and Reed Sheppard just came out with the sidestep into that shot. There is that, you know, that move by an NBA player at times. I find it easy to call it the Steph, where it looks like he's dribbling. He almost puts two hands on the ball and then keeps dribbling.
Right.
I think Reed Sheppard did double dribble on that, but that's pretty cool to be showing that in your first game. That line was great. I mean, he looked good.
He looked so good. And you're like, oh, yeah, he could slot perfectly into that Rockets sort of lineup, which already was an improved team, and they have, like, obviously plans to, like, get into the playoffs. He came alive in the third quarter where he just started knocking down threes, taking guys off the dribble. Yeah, he had that hesitation move, I think it was on Connect, where he had the little floater and one and just got poised to him. Defensively, too, like, locked in on that end. You said three blocks and a steal. So it was, like, contributing on both ends. I thought he was incredible. It's again, I'm reacting after one game of Summer League, but you're like, well, there's shades of Mark Price in this guy. Like, you like a more athletic Mark Price, or he's sort of like, I'm almost like, he's what some people think Austin Reeves is, and I'm like, he might be better already, or like will be as his career goes on. So really impressed. Is there anyone else that has stood out?
The Wolves' 27th pick, Terrence Shannon, who is going to be a guy who comes off the bench, especially with a team who had Kyle Anderson leave. There's minutes to be had, and this guy just showing with two big hammer dunks shows that he just goes to the rim extremely hard to show that aggressiveness. He dunked on Eve Missy of the Pelicans, you know, in the first few minutes of this game. And then that other dunk later on, 25 points on 9 of 14, grabbing boards, blocking shots. There's minutes to be had on the Wolves bench. And he's literally showing that he could be that guy just to go steal some. As a 27th pick, that he's just playing hard. And you want to see that, obviously, in summer league. But I think this guy will do it all season long.
Yeah, he's like a man. He's like 24 years old or something like that. So he should dominate. But that's why the Wolves are able to get him at 27. Like, he's an older prospect, but he could play. And they need guys who can play right away. Yeah. So there are minutes off the bench as a wing, I think. And, I mean, he's got kind of like an Oubre-style game. Like, he's a super athlete. He can drive to the hoop a lot and then competes defensively. There's minutes for those kind of guys, especially on a team that's trying to win.
And it was counter-programming to the No Dunks live show on Friday, but we had Bronny Jr. here, obviously selling out the place. What were your takeaways from here, what he did in Vegas, but what you've also seen, of course, in the California Classic? We've seen, like, what, three games now from him. What's your takeaway?
Well, the first thing to talk about is defense. I know everybody talks about his offense and seeing that he hit a couple of baskets, but the reason why he is going to be a rotation player eventually for the Lakers, and that he can take long with the offensive side, but it's the defense. I mean, he looks shorter than a lot of players out there because he's 6'1", 6'2", but he's extremely long, and he was showing with a 6'7 wingspan, he can take away possessions from the other team at times. So I like that. I mean, it's easy to jump a little too far and just the conclusion that maybe he's not ready because of the offense, but the great thing that Rich Paul did for him is got a guaranteed contract for years, and so that he can develop.
It's good agent work.
That's good for him.
Yeah, second round pick doesn't get years like that, but it's great for him because if he's showing great defense and he's showing that even on the offensive end that he doesn't have to be the guy who just shoots every single time, that bodes well for him. Even though he's 0 for 8 from 3 yesterday.
He is struggling with a three-point shot and scoring in general. The shot is not falling at all.
No. But I don't really think that's a concern. Obviously, there's the drives, and you saw him score a few baskets. And he's not hitting threes like he did at the draft combine, where he's hit 12 straight threes. That doesn't matter.
When there's no one in front of you, a little easier.
Yeah, there were some contests out there yesterday. Like, those were tough shots to make at times, but he kept shooting them. I just think the defense bodes well. He knows how to play the defensive end, and then the offense will come. And, again, he's not going to be unlike Dalton Connect, who will be a rotation player for the Lakers. Talking about old players who got drafted. That's an old player who got drafted. He looks like he can contribute.
Yeah.
But Bronny's going to play on the G League team for a lot of this season. And I think that's totally fine. Yes, he's going to play with Dad on one possession, one play for sure, but not every game.
Right.
And so I think it's totally fine for him to be working hard in the defensive end. The offense will come.
What have you thought about Bronny Jr.?
He's good at defense, and he needs to go to the G League.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of what it comes down to, and that's not a surprise. He was the 55th pick in the draft. That's true for a lot of 6'2 guys. Guess what? If he's going to stick in the NBA, it's going to be because of playing defense. So When you see three blocks in the box score, that's awesome. You look and see 3 for 14, the complete opposite.
Right.
You know, he's going to have the most pressure of any second-round pick in literally NBA history.
Right.
Nobody else has ever cared about somebody drafted in the 50s and how they're playing, and nobody in the 50s has been getting guaranteed contracts,
right?
So it cuts both ways, but it's like if he makes a shot, you're going to see it on the Muse accounts. If he misses a shot, you're going to see it on the hater accounts.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
can see every Bronny James play in possession of all of Summer League because he's the main attraction out here, and he's kind of been as expected so far.
I think. The concern will be when he's playing in these G League games, is he improving?
Yeah.
Is he hitting shots? Is he still having an impact on both sides of the ball?
Yeah.
Like, you have to see it eventually. But right now, I mean, he can't hit a shot. Right now, he cannot hit a shot. And so you have to do those other little things. And he is. He's locked in on that end. But, 55th pick guy.
55th pick, it's true. It's going to take some time. They are showing everything in the highlights, as Trey said. They're showing the missed dunks by Bronny James. I mean, he missed an alley-oop.
Yep.
That he almost threw down. He also had a nice stop on the defensive end and a great pass ahead to Tommy Kuss, who couldn't hit a shot.
Oh, Tommy.
Come on, Tommy.
Let's get these highlights going. But he's got a good showing on the defensive end, that's for sure.
I do wonder when that dies down. Like, he's going to go to the G League. He's going to play in these games. Like, are we still going to get, like, the two-minute Bronny Jr. package of him and his G League game? Probably for the first one, maybe for the second. I just wonder how long people care and ESPN cares to push that.
Yeah.
Right?
And I guess how good he is in the G League.
I know.
I mean, if he's lighting it up, we're going to see it.
Yeah,
I think,
that's true.
You know?
That's true. Any other thoughts on Summer League, either players or people you've seen?
I mentioned Dalton Connect. He looked like he is ready to be part of the Lakers rotation and a team that expects to win because that's who they are, the Los Angeles Lakers. He had 5 threes in this game. He looked comfortable to be able to fade on shots in the mid-range. He just looks ready. He looks like he's playing at the right age for the Los Angeles Lakers. He's an old guy that they drafted to be part of this rotation. I think that is going to happen.
Anyone else you got your eye on, TK?
I would say bummer that Daron Holmes went out with an Achilles injury. Like, that was a guy who the Nuggets maneuvered to get to be able to draft him at the end of the first round, was going to likely come into the season as Jokic's backup. He was doing some stuff for the Nuggets Summer League team, looking athletic, but went down with an injury. So that's a tough one to come back from. And then we also got the news with the Kings draft pick, Devin Carter. He went through his shoulder surgery, and they said they're not going to be providing an update on his recovery for another 6 months. So his rookie season probably done as well before it even starts. So bummer for those guys.
And I know it's not as extreme as those injuries, but Zach Edey not playing in that first one for the Grizzlies. I guess they're saying it's an ankle injury of some sort.
Yeah, that sucks.
It just sucks. It's like an attraction you want to see, like how he fares again here. I mean, he's already played obviously in the California Classic, but
and he looked good in the Classic.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
That's why I wanted to see him here, but it is unfortunate for sure.
You know we love talking stats here at The Athletic. Here's one that's super simple to remember. Discover automatically doubles the cash back you've earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cash Back Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. That's right, you could put it towards some memorabilia you've had your eye on or treat yourself to a premium sports network. You earn and Discover doubles. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/Spotify.
All right, let's get into a little Is This News. Is This News? I'll throw some headlines at you guys, and you can tell me whether or not they're newsworthy. Let us know in the YouTube comments. Tweet at us at NoDunkSync. First one, we slipped it into last night's live show, but the boys were silly. The boys were having fun putting on a show, so there wasn't a lot talked about with it. So let's get your real takes now. I'm talking about Jalen Brunson staying with the Knicks on a massive discount after the All-Star guard agreed to a 4-year, $156.5 million extension on Friday. By re-upping and signing a new contract in New York now, instead of next offseason, Brunson is leaving more than $100 million in guaranteed money on the table. He would have been eligible for a 5-year, $269 million extension next summer. But he's saying, let's lock this in now, let's help out those Knicks, and let's go win a championship. Again, we briefly touched on it last night, but TK, how newsworthy is this of Brunson, you know, taking really a pay cut here, a discount with this extension?
He is in a great place right now, man. He gets to hang out with his dad. He gets to hang out with his friends. He gets a raise of, what, $15 million a year
good, yep.
And gets credit for taking a pay cut while still being eligible to sign an $80 million a year contract when he reaches year 10 of service time with the Knicks.
Right.
When, guess what? It's probably likely his godfather will come through with that offer as well. So Jalen Brunson, he is on top of the world right now. It's pretty cool that it seems like NBA salaries have gotten to such a huge number that you're like, fine, I won't take the other $30 million I can make this year because I am still making $50 million. Like, he signed a contract where he's going to be making $50 a year. And people are like, man, what a bold pay cut for this guy. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Contracts have gotten so huge that superstars in the biggest market in the league will take a pay cut because they're already making enough. And you can make the team better, which then makes your brand better, which then makes you more attractive for all these commercials that we now see Jalen Brunson in. He's got it figured out.
It's a good point about NBA salaries. It just seems like, okay, he's making 39 this coming season. That's just a deal for the New York Knicks. But all this money's become so high, it's like buying a chicken sandwich here in Las Vegas. Like, they're all pricey. Everything's pricey.
It's
they're
too
all,
much. Yeah,
it's high. Every cost is high. Yeah. It's hard to really understand how much more it is than everything. But this is good for the New York Knicks. This is exciting for the New York Knicks in general. There's got to be bing bongs happening all over that city. They're excited about the next couple of years. This keeps them below the second apron, which means that they can go sign somebody to a mid-level exception. There's just more money to be had. And then they can go sign guys like Julius Randle, who's up for an extension.
Yes, in early August. Yep.
Yeah, and then also Mikal Bridges, who's on a great contract as well. He's making that old Jalen Brunson money, like last year, basically, was what he's making this year. So I mentioned those guys, plus OG Anunoby. Like, they are going for it. They're all under contract. It's not going to hurt them the next couple of years that all these guys are making money. They're below a second apron because there is some deals there. They just think that they have a championship window here to fight with the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
They really do. So, yeah, everybody's got to be excited in New York.
I've seen people describe this as this extension comes off as like a partnership decision. Exactly what you said. Brunson, in theory, helping the Knicks during this championship window, if they are, you know, are really going to be that good. But down the line, he has a chance to be extremely well compensated for doing so.
Yes.
And, I mean, if this guy does bring a championship to the city of New York, in addition to, you know, taking the pay cut to make it happen, oh, my God, just start building the statue now outside of MSG because he's already a hero to that fan base for getting them back to relevance and obviously turning into an all-NBA all-star guard. But, man, for him to say, hey, it's okay, I'll take a little bit less money. Well, you know, just go use this. He's really putting his money where his mouth is to say, like, come on, I want to win a championship, or at least let's get serious about it.
I want to win a second round.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got to get that first.
Yeah, and he's got a trade kicker in there, 15% trade kicker, because he wants to stay there.
Yeah.
Like, he signed that for a reason. The New York has to pay an extra $10 million if they want to trade him. They don't want to trade him. They want this team to be there going forward, and they want to get somebody off the bench probably to back Mitchell Robinson. Mm-hmm. And this contract allows that. And I wonder, you know, looking at these summer league lineups, like we talked about Walker Kessler with the Utah Jazz, if they tear it down, like they want somebody else as well behind Mitch Robinson now that Hartenstein's gone. I assume that they want somebody they could live with.
Oh, you have to because he never plays a full season,
Mitchell
Robinson. He's good when he plays, but
he's
unfortunately always picks up an injury, so you're going to need a backup like they had in Hartenstein. Now it's got to be somebody else because he's moved on.
But things are good if you're mostly worrying about your backup center.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody else is signed
and
happy and buddies.
They have now, with Brunson signed, they have every core New York Knicks player secured through the 25-26 season, except Julius Randle. Like you said, that extension comes up in August. He's looking at, 4 years, $180 million possible extension.
Yeah, and maybe it's good for them that he didn't play the last few months. It's another discount.
Oh,
I don't
God.
He doesn't get
maxed.
He doesn't get
interesting.
Maxed.
Interesting.
You don't think so?
No.
The friendship does matter to him. Do you think he now has to take less because Jalen Brunson did?
I think he has to, take night classes at Villanova or something like that.
Get a
really
graduate degree?
Yeah, exactly.
Get my MBA.
All right, moving on. The NBA has finalized a $76 billion deal that will make NBC and Amazon Prime Video new partners, and it will maintain ESPN as the home of the NBA Finals. This is The Athletic. They were reporting this on Wednesday. Deal will extend for 11 seasons, and it's more than three times the current deal when you're talking dollar bills here. Is this news? I know it's something we've been talking for a long time, but it sounds like we're almost at the finish line with this when the Board of Governors and all the owners like meet on Tuesday to maybe push this forward. But what do you think?
It's news for a couple of reasons. First, we're going to be watching games that are streaming a heck of a lot more, on apps a heck of a lot more. We're going to be watching games likely on Peacock and Amazon Prime. And we're going to be watching more and more nationally televised games throughout the week. Because it's for me, it's a little difficult to wrap my head around the schedule of things. I think we'll get there.
It's like
there
Peacock on Monday, and Tuesday we go to Amazon, and Wednesday we're back to ESPN.
Let me get through it here.
Oh.
Monday, we got Peacock. Games are on Peacock. National Television games
on Peacock. The cock gets Monday.
Tuesday, all on NBC, on the broadcast channel. Although
simulcast.
Simulcast on Peacock.
On the cock.
Wednesday, all is ESPN.
Classic.
Thursday, it'll be on Amazon after the football season is done. What they're trying to do is use their Thursday night football and
slot.
Just basically that same slot. Okay, that's gone. You know, the regular season is done in the NFL at the end of December. Now we just put baseball games on. So NFL fans, hey, basketball. There's basketball games on, no baseball. There's basketball games. If you're an NFL fan, now you can watch them now. Friday, also on Amazon, but on ESPN after the football season. So it'll be on Amazon and ESPN in January. On Saturday, it'll be on Amazon, but ESPN too. On Sunday, it'll be on ESPN during the football season and NBC after the football season. NBC, so they're also doing the Sunday night football thing. Hey, football's over, come watch it on NBC.
Can you give out your phone number to everybody so they can just call you to ask Wells and say, Tuesday, hey, where am I watching the games tonight?
Yeah, it is tough. It's tough.
Holy moly, man.
I guess we'll understand it at
some
point.
We'll start to figure it out. But
Peacock, NBC, ESPN, Amazon, there's lots of streaming, lots of more nationally televised games than we previously had.
Are you excited about this?
I'm thrilled, man. I'm thrilled. I would just wish that the deal would actually go through.
Yeah.
Because that's why, to me, is it news? No, this is still happening. We're still negotiating the rights deals, figuring out where Warner lands in this and what the language of their contract is and whether or not they can match and what they would do going forward and then who would therefore take over. How does Inside the NBA factor in to all this? It's kind of crazy that this deal has been reported for such a long time that we now know the literal schedule of days that we would be watching unless it all completely changes and Turner is able to match and somehow they sneak in and get the Amazon side of things. But, you're going to have a lot of streaming services to watch now. Now, I have small children, so I have every streaming service that exists.
Oh,
nice. So I've got these ones. but, you know, not everybody's a Peacock fan out there.
Right.
They do got a lot of nice movies available, though.
So TNT right now, they will have the NBA next year since all of this new rights deal doesn't kick in until the end of the 24-25 season.
Yeah.
Again, I just want to make that very clear because a lot of people think
this is not even for this
Inside
year.
The NBA is over. It's not over. They at least have one more year. And then it's possible that an Amazon or an NBC, like, hey, we want you, Chuck and Shaq and Kenny and Ernie. So maybe it doesn't even go
very
anywhere.
Strange.
It just goes to a different streaming platform.
It is very strange, though, that we get this schedule. It's NBC, it's Peacock, it's Amazon, it's ESPN, and then all of a sudden, after the Board of Governors meeting, which happens on Tuesday, like they have another 5 days, TNT does, to come back and say, hey, we want to get in on it. Yeah. It's weird to get a schedule, and then it changes back. Why would we get the schedule if TNT is going to be a part of it?
This feels like is TNT like the closest we've been, it feels like, the reporting of Andrew Marchand at The Athletic and a lot of others. Like this does feel like we are almost there. I think it's coming down to, how much of a stink will TNT or Turner, Warner Brothers, I should say, make about this, and like how will we take this to court and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it more like, okay, we're done, you win Amazon,
you win again,
you win
Bezos.
Jeff, exactly. So we will see. Next piece of news here, the groups are set for the 2024 NBA Cup. All 30 teams have been randomly drawn into groups of five within their conference based on win-loss records from last regular season. So beginning on Tuesday, November 12th, now, that will not be on Peacock yet, okay? Because this is, next season. And continuing through Tuesday, December 3rd, each team will play four designated group play games on cup nights. One game against each opponent in its group. And you're going to have two games on the road, two games at home. Same idea as we did this year, but it's got a new name. It's got a new sponsor. And there you see the groups. Is there a group of death in the NBA Cup?
West C, group of death. I mean, that's five playoff competitors right there. And the Nuggets, Mavericks, Pelicans, Warriors, and Grizzlies.
Damn, that's loaded.
I mean, Nuggets, Mavericks, Warriors are the last three Western Conference representatives in the NBA Finals. Two of them won the championship. Grizzlies made it to the conference finals.
50-win team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were a top two seed prior to these last couple of seasons. Before last year. And then the Pelicans have been a play-in team, but a tough out once they make it into the playoffs. So, yeah, that one looks totally stacked. Eastern Conference groups are a little more top-heavy, I think, when I'm looking at East C in particular.
Right.
I'm looking at East A, perhaps.
Yes, the Celtics are looking pretty good there in the East C. Maybe the Cavs will put up a bit of a fight. But, do you have any thoughts on the NBA Cup here in the drawings?
I like how they're calling them Cup Nights because last year there was the complaints by some people saying, I don't know when these games are. Well, if they are Cup Nights, then they're pretty distinctive. You know when they're playing.
Yeah.
Second thing, they didn't change the A group, B group, that. Calling them groups A, B, and C. I don't know if I like those.
Really?
Yeah.
But you want, like, specific names?
Something.
Like the Halliburton group. He had a great run
last
year.
Confusing.
Yeah, definitely it can be confusing. The groups of death is an interesting way of thinking about it because, like, soccer, there's the groups of death. This is becoming... We're becoming soccer to some degree in that everything is sponsored. You know, the referees had an Emirates logo on their referee jerseys, and now it's the Emirates NBA Cup. Just like soccer. Soon we'll just have... You know, advertising on our jerseys. It'll happen one day, just like a soccer.
We already
have advertising.
That.
I know, but
you
a little
badge. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the team name.
I do like
the
that.
Qantas Bulls.
Hey, I like that they sort of like leaned into calling it the NBA Cup, though. Right?
Yeah, it's
it was
better.
All in-season tournament. Oh, yeah, get rid of that.
Absolutely.
NBA Cup, that's good. The Cup Nights, like you said. So good branding, and we'll see how this goes. I want to know if teams are going to throw this, though. We saw what happened to the Lakers.
They fell apart
Lakers
after the
Lakers win
ISC,
this thing.
Yeah.
They win the inaugural NBA Cup, and then, oh, man, they fell apart after that.
I can't wait to see what the floors look like. Same stripey boys?
Mm. Wow.
Great question.
Or is that they change it every year?
I think they're going to change it, but
that's a lot of floor overturn.
It is a lot of paint. It's a lot of paint.
Vertical stripes.
A lot of planks.
Just a bunch of stripes.
That would look crazy, man.
All right, so there were the draws. Let's hear from everybody what you think. What is the group of death to you in those? Final piece of news here. Kyle Lowry announced on Instagram... The old man's on Instagram that he has agreed to remain with the Philadelphia 76ers. Deal is 1 year. Lowry, who is 38, he joined Philly in the spring after being bought out by the Hornets, who acquired him in that trade with Terry Rozier.
That's right.
I had forgotten about that part, that he was on the Hornets, sort of.
Former Summer League guest, Terry Rozier.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What was that?
Spaghetti sandwich.
Yeah, spaghetti and ranch.
Spaghetti ranch sugar sandwich.
Sugar was crunchy.
That's $24 in Vegas. Lowry averaged 8 points, 4.5 assists in 23 games with the Sixers in the regular season, obviously played in the playoffs. Is this news that Lowry is staying with Daryl Morey in Philadelphia?
It's good news for the Philadelphia 76ers. It seemed inevitable. Mm-hmm. That's his hometown. That's where he played last year going into the playoffs and was good for this team.
And they're a good team and only got better.
Yeah, and so it makes sense that Kyle Lowry will be playing on this team. I wonder if Kyle Lowry will finally, for the first time in a very, very, very long time, be coming off the bench because he didn't have to do that last year. He was starting beside Tyrese Maxey. And this year, you know, obviously, Paul George, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey are starting. Beyond that, Kelly Oubre most likely and Caleb Martin, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe the other two. But there will be a chance for Kyle Lowry to start, I'm sure, if you know one of those two guys I just mentioned aren't playing. But Kyle Lowry must be excited. They went into a good series with the Knicks, and he played really well. And played really well during the regular season, too.
Sixers have had a really good offseason. I mean, they made the Paul George move happen, and then they filled out everything else with like solid veterans. Lowry was good for him last year. They probably needed too much from Kyle Lowry at this point in his career last season. But now he comes in. Maybe he starts when Maxey's dealing with an injury or something like that. He'll have a big role off the bench. He'll be a nice mentor for their draft pick, Jared McCain, who's a small guard as well. You can like learn the toughness, the defensive side of things from Lowry, who's perfect there, and then grow your game that way. So I think this is a nice veteran signing for the Sixers, especially since now they just need Lowry to do what he's best at rather than having to be the throwback version of himself that they needed last year.
Yeah. We saw Daryl Morey walking around the casino floor last night.
Oh, yeah.
head held high.
Spring in his step.
He absolutely did, because this has been a pretty impressive offseason here with the Paul George and Caleb Martin and even Andre Drummond and your guy Eric Gordon and Lyle Lowry coming back.
They're old.
Yeah. They're old.
They're old, yeah. But this is the best team that Embiid has, I think, had around him. With Maxey and Paul George, obviously, as your 2 and 3, and then the rest of these pieces.
Yeah.
Like, it has to start happening here. And there's the whole Lowry with Nick Nurse element of it all. And Nick Nurse is like, he's basically a second coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there on the floor, whether he comes off the bench or not. So, yeah, good stuff with Lowry staying there. Before we go, let's do Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Got a few tweets for everybody out there. And, it's about Summer League, because when you come to Summer League, yeah, you're excited to see the basketball, excited to see maybe players and coaches and executives walking around. But the other fun part, a bunch of crazy jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
You see more jerseys here at Summer League than you see anywhere else in the world. And you see some unique ones.
What is that?
Sean Hyken sharing one here. Happy birthday, by the way, to Sean Hyken. He shared this photo of a Luke Babbitt Miami Vice Heat jersey. And he says, we're back with a vengeance. This meaning, you know, we're back at Summer League, baby.
This one was insane to me. I thought that, like, Luke Babbitt and the Miami Heat pink jersey era were 10 years separated from each other.
I
can't believe this would possibly be a crossover. Like, Jimmy Butler, he wears 22, does he not?
Yeah, is this a possible, like, this man just made it, you know?
Just make Luke Babbitt
custom? Is this a Babbitt
I don't
custom?
Know where this came from. This one blew my mind, but, man, that's a legendary find.
So somebody replied to Sean Hyken, you know, it's good, but it's no Iguodala Group Economics jersey. And here is Build the Damn OSU sharing a photo of the old bubble days, and that is an Iguodala Heat jersey with Group
that's
Economics.
Wild.
But then Hyken said... Hyken countered with a can I interest you in an education reform Markieff Morris jersey.
These
you
are great.
See there, the 88 Lakers.
Too good.
And to wrap up some of the fun jerseys here, our guy Andrew Schlecht, who's in the back here, he shared this photo, which I shared this morning. These three have been inseparable in Vegas, and it is a photo of a guy in a LaMelo Ball jersey, a guy in a Jalen Suggs jersey, and a guy in a Grady Dick jersey. Ball, Suggs, and Dick. I'm sure you get it. Walking around. And I guess they have to walk around together.
They have to.
Sort of in that order. I guess, actually, you could flip Dick and Ball if you want.
Suggs is in the middle.
Yeah, Suggs has to be in the middle. But anyway, just a small taste of some of the jerseys.
Yeah, I wonder if Lonzo Ball joined him, two balls there.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
That's good.
There is a tape with probably a little S at the side of the jersey.
Yeah, that's right. I
would subscribe to that guy's all those kids' podcasts.
Yeah,
I'm sure they got one.
It's like that that meme of the three young kids, like basically just sitting around talking and starting a podcast at the dining room table over there. We had a bunch of jerseys in attendance last night, too. That was fun.
Yeah, bunch of jerseys. I do remember somebody came in a Lithuania Arvydas Sabonis jersey.
I loved that one.
That was very cool to see.
What else? I mean, there was an Elprin Şengün.
Saw Şengün. Saw a Lillard.
There was a weird Heat jersey. It was like an L Heat, maybe?
There was an L Heat jersey. Yeah. You're exactly right. There was another LeBron jersey there, a Heat LeBron jersey. I'm trying to see who else we had.
The point we're trying to make is you see a lot of men's shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
At Summer
League. Oh, yeah, you do.
A whole lot of shoulders.
Yeah,
sometimes
they're
a little
out,
hairy.
Baby.
Oh, look at this guy. Get him
I
out.
Know. I wish I would have brought a jersey.
You didn't bring a jersey, no.
I didn't bring a jersey this year. Brought a mesh tank top.
Did you bring any jerseys?
I did not.
No. I actually find jerseys hot.
What?
Not breathable. I'm with you.
They're not breathable.
Yeah, that's the fabrics.
It's the fabrics.
Here's what I said. We need, you know how they sell for every sport, literally every sport, a jersey, like a t-shirt version of a jersey?
Yeah.
Why aren't the basketball ones tank tops?
Yes.
That'd be perfect for the pool. Get a cotton, you know, Buzelis jersey. People will be going crazy when I show up. Whoa.
That's a good idea.
A t-shirt tank top.
Yeah. just tank tops.
Basically.
Because basketball jerseys are tank tops. Yeah. I mean, you
be
could
a lot
cut
more
off your sleeves.
Than a real
you just
jersey.
Want a cotton, breathable.
I just want a breathable summer jersey.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, let's call it there. This guy's got to get to a Grateful Dead concert at Sphere.
At Sphere, Club Sphere.
I mean, you How geeked are you right now?
Bro, I mean, I wish we could podcast for another 3 hours to just run straight into the show, you know. But I'm very excited. I've had tickets since February. So I thought finally getting to Vegas, I would be like, we did it. We made our long wait. But it's been even worse because I've gotten here and every other guy that's around, gray beard, 40 plus, wearing a dead shirt. It's like, hey, man, you going to the show? Yeah, I'm going to the show. Yeah. You going to the show? Yeah, I'm going. And they're always going before me. So I've had to wait and see all these people with joy in their face, sparkle in their eye. But tonight I will be that man.
I'm legit excited for you.
It feels like a huge event for this weekend. I can't believe how many people I've seen around that are like, I'm going, or I've been there. And then, you know, obviously you're seeing the shirts and the logos.
On our way here, on the airplane here, we were together, and there's a bunch of people flying here with Grateful Dead hats, cool hats, or shirts, ready to watch. Like,
making a lot of friends.
I saw Kentavious Caldwell Pope. I was excited about that. He was on a plane coming from Georgia, from Atlanta, Georgia.
He's a deadhead?
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, no,
I was going to say that. I was excited to see just a basketball player. I think that's the best part of being here. I saw JB Bickerstaff yesterday. I was very excited. No, all basketball players. And then the Grateful Dead took over the airplane. I mean, the Grateful Dead fans. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy the show. Thanks for joining us here both last night and tonight here. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. 5-star ratings and review. Before we go, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, best part of Summer League is seeing both the jerseys, but you get to see celebrities. You get to see NBA players. You get to see Jaylen Brown, Triple J, CJ McCollum. We're there for the MBPA meeting.
Oh.
CJ McCollum, the president, looking great. I was excited.
But the best part of Vegas, it's leaving. Brace the night, people.